It's like slapping him in the face. He was giving him revelation. He was giving him all these wonderful visions and things. And they were just throwing it out like it was just of no value to them at all. And God says in the 9th verse of Isaiah 9, to whom would he teach knowledge? He wants to teach his people knowledge, Darren, but they wouldn't receive it. And even today, he wants to teach us. And there are some people that will not receive God, will not receive Holy Spirit.
Well, you know, part of this is they say to the spiritual leaders, to pastors and teachers, evangelists, you do it all. You do it for me. Lay hands on me. Just do it for me. I don't want to work. That spirit world, I don't understand it. I don't want to meditate. If I can't see it, I don't want to believe it. I don't want to do it. Just, hey, Reverend, you do it for me.
That's right. Or if the things of the Holy Spirit, such as speaking in tongues or prophesying or interpreting, they say, oh, that was that back then. That was during a different dispensation. That's not for us today. That's slapping God in the face. That's like this verse here. Their tables are full of filthy vomit.
Yeah, but go on and read it.
Without a single clean place. And it says, to whom would he teach knowledge? And to whom would he interpret the message? Those just weaned from milk? God needs people strong in him, Darren. He needs people that are mature, not those just weaned off of milk.
I like that word mature. And you know, you can't get mature just overnight by saying, well, I choose to be a real strong Christian.
Mm-hmm.
No, you need to build yourself up so you have a reliable spirit.
That's
and many people, Barbara, when they get into a spiritual challenge, into a thing where they're fighting maybe for their life or someone else's life, maybe, you know, who knows what that challenge would be. They need to be mature in the Word so they know that they know that they know, and the spirit world is not a whole new deal to them.
Mm-hmm.
They've been there. They know that they have dominion there. They know they have authority there. They know the power of words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of Christians have been in churches for many, many years, and they still do not know the power of words.
That's right.
And they don't realize that God is a Word God. And his son is called the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us.
When are we going to get it?
I don't know.
When are we going to get it? It's like here he says in the 10th verse, he says, order on order, order on order, line on line, line on line. I think God is mocking. People are saying, well, we've got to have everything in order. We've got to have everything organized, and we've got to have, you know, no confusion here. And God is saying, I can't handle you anymore. I can't stand you.
He's saying everything you learn, you have to learn by rote.
Yes.
Now, you know, when you learn something, you know, as a kid, you learn, you said it over and over and over 5,000 times until you got it straight. Okay, now, understanding may have come then, but it may not have come. You may have just learned, say, times tables, or maybe you learned some phonics, but it never gelled in your heart as to what the essence of that was.
That's right, the essence of that math, yes.
You learned it legally, but you didn't learn it vitally.
That's right.
And God is saying here, you know, I give it to you. Order on order, I'm going to say by rote. You're going to learn it by line on line, a little here, a little there. Indeed, now this is talking about God, he will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. And he said to them, here is rest, give rest to the weary. Here is repose, but they would not listen. So the word of the Lord to them will be. Now, see, I think God gets frustrated.
Oh,
at times. And I
if I were him, I sure would.
Well, it says that in Scripture, and he gets angry. But it goes on to say, so the word of the Lord to them will be order on order, line on line, a little here, a little there. And here's the consequence of not getting in there and finding out the essence of what he's saying and what he's all about. That they may go and stumble backward, be broken, snared, and taken captive.
Oh, and we have so many captives today, Darren.
You know, Barb,
so
when they only get it intellectually, they say the sinner's prayer, God does give them a new heart, but in terms of their understanding, they don't get in and dig in the Word. They don't spend time with the Father God to find out who he really is, this new Father to them, because before they got born again, they were of their father, the devil.
That's right.
They were born in sin. Well, when they finally had sense enough to cry out and at least say a simple sinner's prayer, God saved them. He gave them a recreated spirit, but they haven't renewed their minds. And in Romans 12:2, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
In the spirit, yes, of
your
mind.
Now, you have to have your mind cooperating with your spirit, or you're not congruent. You're a disjointed Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You're a wooden soldier.
That's right.
Let me put it that way. And you're really of no threat to the kingdom of darkness. And when Satan wants to lay something on you because of your consent of ignorance, he can get it done.
Mm-hmm.
He can put it over on you and you'll buy it.
That's right. I believe everything here that we've been talking about in Isaiah 28 has everything to do with the spirit man. He is saying, I want you to be spirit man, no longer outer directed. I want you to be inner directed here. And through stammering lips and a foreign tongue, I'm going to bring these revelations to you. And that's what I believe is speaking in tongues, Darren. And some of you listening will say, well, how can you say this is speaking in tongues? This doesn't have anything to do with speaking in tongues. Well, let's turn over. I'm going to do the very same thing you did a little while ago. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21, just for a moment. We're still in the Old Testament, but I want to show you how this prophecy in the Old Testament, Paul has related again and repeated. And he says, brethren, do not be children in your thinking. That means do not still be on the milk. Don't be immature, yet in evil be babes, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it's written, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers, I will speak to the people, and even though they will not listen to me, says the Lord. These are tongues, Darren, because in the very next verse it says, so then tongues are for a sign. In this verse from Isaiah 28, verse 11, speaking with stammering lips and a foreign tongue, this is the tongues that Paul's talking about in the New Testament.
Now, of course, this tears up a person who wants to operate their spiritual life by reason.
That's absolutely true.
They say, well, can't figure this out. This just doesn't make sense to me. Well, faith doesn't make sense.
No.
It doesn't make reason. And we have to release being in control, because reason says, I want to be in control. If I can understand it, then I'll buy it. If I can't understand it, get out of here.
Yes.
That's really what they're saying to us.
That's
but you know,
right.
In Isaiah 28, it really breaks it out. It goes on to say, therefore hear the word of the Lord, O scoffers. We have people that scoff at our message, at our radio broadcast, at our materials. Who
yes.
rule this people who are in Jerusalem? Because you have said, and here it comes, folks, and I'll tell you this, boy, I'll tell you, the Lord just, I mean, he stuck the knife in, I'll put it that way. He says, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, we have made a pact, the overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by.
Mm.
In other words, we know evil.
That's right.
And we're a friend with evil, and it's not going to hurt us because we've cut a covenant with evil.
Yes.
Oh, I tell you. And the overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by. Wherefore we have made falsehood our refuge. We have concealed ourselves with deception. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone, for the foundation firmly placed. And I might say that that cornerstone is Jesus. He's laying truth. And
that's
all these
right.
other things here, they gave in to deception and to lies.
Spirit of truth.
Yes,
that's
amen.
That's right, amen.
He who believes in it will not be disturbed, and I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the level. Then hail shall not sweep away, Then hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the secret place. And your covenant with death shall be canceled, and your pact with hell shall not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, then you will become its trampling place. As often as it passes through, it will seize you, for morning after morning it will pass through any time during the day or night.
And this is the condition of a lot of people who believe in Jesus, but they have really made a covenant with death. They have not gone on into the deeper things of the Spirit.
You know, I understand that there's a satellite channel. I don't know if the whole channel is committed to this, but some programming is committed to death.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see people that are dying violent deaths, people have been executed, and so on. They're drawn, they're making a covenant with death.
Mm-hmm.
So sad,
it
so
is.
Sick,
it is
so sinful. And, you know, we need to just pray and get away from anything that would mean that we have a covenant with death of any kind. Maybe we've accepted the fact, well, you know, you got to get old and get sick and die. You know, in a sense, Barbara, that's a covenant of death.
That's right.
They are embracing death, and it need not be. It's actually a blasphemy against the Lord and what he can do for our lives.
That's right. Well, if you will turn the tape over, we're going to be teaching about the Spirit of God moving in the valley of dry bones. It's going to be exciting.